Turn with me
this morning and that's dead so
to Psalms 150. We're going to read the entire chapter,
all six verses.
One of my favorite psalms. There's just something about it. Every time that I read it, it uplifts my spirit. It makes me focus a little bit on what's important. And so we're just going to go through this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about praising. But more importantly, I want us to praise God while we're talking about it. I want us to realize just how unimportant these issues and problems of our world really are. In context. In perspective. Most of our children today, their greatest problem is when the internet goes out. Life stops and ceases, and that's the worst problems. And, you know, we might laugh at that, but we've got those similar things in our time, don't we? That if something happens and we go, oh no, life is... Well, I want us to understand that it doesn't matter, and there's no qualifications at all found in this psalm. It just says praise. Just do it. Doesn't matter if it's good times, bad times, lean times, poor times, good times, prosperous times. We're to praise. The first and the last of the chapters of the psalm, Psalms 1 and 150, have the same number of verses. They're both short, and they're both very memorable. The scope, though, of that first Psalms 1 and Psalms 150 is very different. The first psalm is an elaborate instruction about our duty to prepare us for the comforts of our devotion. This is all rapture and transport, and perhaps was penned on purpose to be the conclusion of the sacred psalms. When you say songs, that's exactly what it was. They had set it to music. And these are the words. I will tell you that a lot of our songs that we sing, if we were just to read them without music, they can be some of the most powerful words ever spoken. And I think sometimes the music, we don't get the full effect sometimes with the music. And these are these words are important and powerful for us. The Psalms have, if you read through the Psalms, and it's 150 chapters, it's quite large. But if you read through the Psalms, it takes you on a life journey. And this is almost like the conclusion of that life journey. When you take all the Psalms have said and you want to summarize it, Psalms 150 is this summary. And so we need to take it as that important, as being a summary. You see, the psalmist had been himself full of the praises of God when he wrote this. I don't know how you can write something like this and not really feel it, not really deal with the emotion of it. And here he wants to share what he's feeling with the entire world. Have you ever been so happy? And you wanted everybody else to be happy because something good has happened to you? And they just look at you, well, good for you. That, you know, maybe say worse things. And you just want to share your happiness. This is what the psalmist is attempting to do, is share the joy and the praise and the honor of God to us today. He wants to fill the world with that kind of praise and that kind of devotion. Again and again, he says, praise the Lord, praise Him, no less than 13 times in 6 verses. You get the point? I mean, I don't really shouldn't have to tell you what the point of this whole chapter is. Praise Him. So we're going to take this, and we may not be here long this morning, but I want to make it impactful and powerful while we're here. And so we're going to go to verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Now, I would like, and I know some of you have masks on, but I think I can tell if you're smiling. when we read praise the Lord, let's put on a smile. We should. And if we can't do it in church, where can we praise God? Because He says, well, we've heard all kinds of people say, I don't need to be in church to be part of the church. Now, clearly, this verse is telling us where we could go and what to do when we get there. But people miss the mark when they come to church. For some, coming to church is a habit. I like the habit, okay? Don't ever get out of the habit. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But they come purely because it's habits, what they've done all their life. They were brought to church by their parents. They continued on throughout their whole life, and they don't know anything else, so they just come because it's Sunday morning. We tend to think sometimes of church as a social gathering than we do an opportunity to praise the Lord. Sometimes we allow a whole bunch of different things to hinder us from serving God. Well, I don't like that preacher, so I'm not going to praise God today. I don't like so-and-so because he or she treated me terribly, so I'm not going to praise God today. I don't like the songs that we sing, so I'm not going to praise God today. I'm sorry, none of those things are the problem. Now, can you praise God other places? We're going to find out. We can praise Him anywhere we want, that we desire. But specifically, he said, praise God in His sanctuary. Now, let's just be totally honest. We call this a sanctuary, but that's not what he was talking about. It is, in a way, the sanctuary of the temple. When they come together in the holy place, the tabernacle, they were to praise Him. Period. I don't think it's a whole lot different than coming together as a church body and praising Him. There have been a lot of times in a lot of different churches that people have come together in church. They have assembled together, but there was absolutely no praise going on to God. That's happened more times than we would like to even consider. When we come together, we are to praise God. Period. It's that simple. You put off all the other things that could hinder. That sermon was way too long today. Hopefully I'll make up for it today. And therefore you just shut off. Or you say, I don't know if I want to come today. He's going to ramble on and on and on. I'm not naive. I know y'all say that. No, but you see what I'm saying? And all of a sudden, it becomes about me. It becomes about the music. It becomes about who else is here. It becomes how many people are here versus whether or not we come to praise God. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if there's two or three. Guess what? We can praise God together. It doesn't matter if you've got 150 in this building. You can have 150 and not a single one of them be praising God. They can all be just talking about how good it was to see everybody here and how full the building was. Or how great the music was. It wasn't about praising God. It was about praising the music. It was about praising the pastor. It was about praising, you know, your friends and social things. Praise God in His sanctuary. That is what we are to do when we come together, is to give God praise. You say, well, okay, we can do that. When we come to church, we can do that. But look what he says. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. What in the world is a mighty firmament? Well, everywhere. That's what he's saying. Praise Him everywhere. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want you to notice something. The words used. The word assembly has a meaning of, in the Greek, has to gather together as one, or to gather in one place. And by these definitions of the word, we can see that all we need to come together as one and lift our voices, lift our hands, our faces, and even our wallets, and give praise and honor that is due God. There's something special about that. And we know that it is then that all the excuses come out of why they cannot go to church. You know the ones. I can't go there. There's a bunch of hypocrites going there. I can't go there because there's a bunch of liars there. I can't go there. There's a bunch of gossipers going there. Three sinners. Three types of sinners. We don't want them in the church. What better place for them to be than hearing God's word on a consistent basis? You see, if they're in the church, what better place for you to be is to be with them. Who cares what they've done? Who cares that what they've been through? Who cares how bad it's been? Just put it all down. Give Him the praise and honor and glory that's due Him, and let the Lord of Lords work all the things out in their lives. You see, it's not a matter of who's here. It is a matter about who's here. It's a matter of how we are going to express our praise and our worship to Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. And so when you walk through the doors, even though we're assembling together, your worship is your worship. Your worship is not mine. It is not someone, the person's next to you. Your worship to God is your responsibility. And only you can worship and praise God. Quit the excuses about why you can't worship in a particular place. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us what we should do. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and I love this, a peculiar people. A people to His own is what that means. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It is one of the greatest witnesses to a lost and dying world for a group of people to come together and to praise and honestly and truly praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things. He has called us out in order for us to come together to praise Him before the entire world. And that's exactly what we should be doing this year. In Isaiah 6, we find the angels praising God inside the temple. In Luke 2, we find Simeon praising God inside the temple. In Luke 24, we see the followers of Jesus inside the temple after He had departed back to the Father. Once we get it right on the inside, we can take it outside to share with those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have to get worship, praising God right here before we can take it out there. Once we get it right here, we'll take it. We'll be able to praise God anywhere. In verse 2, you say, okay, I got you. We need to come to church. We need to praise Him. I would like to be praised. Would y'all praise me? You're going to go, why? why would you pray? I mean, I demand to be praised. I hope they don't edit this at some point with me out of context. But I demand to be praised, and you're all going, I can't think of a reason why to praise you. And so that's the natural question. So I'm telling you today, not to praise me, but I want you all to praise God. And I hope and pray that you're not saying why. But there's a lot of folks who will. Well, why should we praise Him? Look what it says. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Number one, I'm not worthy to be praised. And neither are you. Okay? I'm not worthy. He is. We can praise Him for His wonderful grace. Now, I'd like to think that I could, give grace to everybody, but I haven't, and I probably won't. Every once in a while, I'll extend. You say, "What do you mean?" By doing something that somebody that didn't deserve it. And if you take those small times that we've done that for people, and then you magnify it out, and you multiply it out to something, you can't even get to where God's grace is, what He's done for us. His wonderful grace by forgiving us when we didn't deserve to be forgiven. For His gift of salvation. Guys, if we can't praise God for anything, it's got to be that. I hope and pray that everyone in here has received the gift of everlasting life. I would pray that you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life, and that you know that what's going to happen to you the minute that you die. That you breathe your last breath, that you're going to be in His presence. I hope you know that beyond a shadow of doubt, because you've received His gift and you've received His promise. When you understand and you live your life upon that promise and upon that gift, a lot of things in this life just don't matter a whole lot more. A lot of things in this life are all things in this life are temporary. And doesn't even come to the importance of knowing what's going to happen to you when you leave this life. Because, and we just celebrated a couple of weeks ago, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. The love that He has given us when we didn't deserve it. We should praise Him for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Yeah. The Holy Spirit that keeps me, guards me. The Holy Spirit that seals me. Knowing the fact that it doesn't matter now, no matter what I do in this life, no matter how I might reject Him, no matter how I may offend Him, no matter how sinful I may be, because He has given me the gift and the Holy Spirit has come in and sealed my heart, guess what? I can never be pulled from His hands. I could never lose my salvation. If I had to worry about whether I sin too much for God, it would be a horrible life to live. But I don't have to worry about that, because the Holy Spirit has kept me. It seals me. And not only that in life, but the Holy Spirit that is within me guides me in this life and comforts me. Why should we praise God again? Because He made me a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm not the person that I used to be before Christ came into my life. My dress have changed, my wants have changed, my conversations changed, my walk has changed, and my desires have changed. He made me something new. I can praise God this morning for the fellowship with the saints. And I know it's strange to say, but even Miss Mary's a saint. As you all are. We are saved children of God. And we're in fellowship. There's no number qualification on that, by the way. It doesn't matter. We come together today and we're in fellowship with one another for a place to worship. We can thank God for a place to worship. There are so many countries around the world who, you know, they're not given a place to worship. They don't have the opportunity to publicly come together as a group like we do. And can you imagine what it'd be like in China, Dan, if they openly were able to do that? We would have a revival that would in China that would be awesome. And yet here in the United States, the doors are open, except for maybe New York and California. The doors are open, but I'm talking about really before the pandemic. I don't know if I want to go or not. Y'all want to come and praise God for the opportunity to come together and living in a land that allows us to do that. For a place to call my home. A place to worship. A place to call my home. For a job that enables me to provide. For a chance to praise you, Him, and give a small portion back from the abundance of what He's given me. You see, we have so much that we need to praise God for. And the list is really endless. These are just highlights. So we know where to praise the Lord. And we know why to praise the Lord. Let's close with what to praise the Lord with. In verses 3 through 6. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Now get this. If you think that that's the only things that we can praise God with, this is clear to me. Let everything that has breath. Everybody breathe. Okay, everybody's included now. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's us. We are to praise the Lord. Listed here are the following: trumpet, psaltery, harp, the tremble and dance, stringed instruments and organs, cymbals and high sounding cymbals. We have some brethren of a different denomination who don't think that we should praise anything with God but our voices. I'm going to make a suggestion to you. Everything we do, everything that we say, everything that we use should be used for the honor and the glory of God. Period. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. There are many ways mentioned in the Bible in which we're to praise the Lord. There are a number of things we can use to do it with. And with the closing of the book of Psalms, we see the writer just say, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Why do you think he closes with that? Well, I tend to think that the reason we should praise the Lord is simple. The voice is the one instrument that God has made for him to hear. Every other instrument has been made by man for us to use for him to hear. And he wants to hear what he has made to give him praise. So I ask you today, can we that are made in his image give him praise? You see, when you look back at Psalms 148, you see there are more reasons or things that are listed here to praise the Lord. The heavens, the heights, the angels, the host, the sun, the moon, the star, all the stars of light, the heavens of heavens, the waters above, and so on, everything to praise. You remember the story about when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem that last week, and all his disciples and everybody was giving him praise and everything. And remember what one of them said? He said, "You need to call it. You need to tone down your disciples. You need to tell them to stop things." What did he tell them? Even if all the mouths were shut, the rocks would even cry out into his name. So the question is, I ask you today, is there anything that you would want to take your place in the praise unto the Lord? What are you letting take your place praising God? I'm not talking about singing. I'm talking about what is taking your place in the praising of God. Would you want another man to tell your wife how much he loves her? If you think that me praising God is somehow going to help you, it's not. Or a woman, tell your husband how much she loves him. That would not be a good thing. So why are we willing? Why are we so willing to allow something else praise the Lord for us? Why are we willing to let someone else praise the Lord for us? We need to praise the Lord. Church, can I ask you? Can we praise the Lord this year? Can we make that a focus? That when we step into this building together, or wherever we may be, that we don't concentrate on the music. We don't think trust me, you need to concentrate on the sermon, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't put that as your whether or not you're going to worship or not. But you come and you prepare yourself to praise the Lord, regardless of who's here and what's going on. No matter if times are really great in your life or times really stink, it doesn't matter. If you come, and we all come together with that same mentality, the same thought process of when I'm coming to church today, I'm going to worship and I am going to praise God. Guess what? If we all came, guess what would happen? And we did that. I believe that revival probably would break out. And I believe that people will be drawn to this place because of the true and the honest praise and worship of Jesus Christ and God Almighty. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But as long as I have breath, I am told I must praise the Lord and give Him the honor and the glory. Can you do that this morning? Can you do that the rest of your life? That's what He deserves. That's what He wants. That's what He desires of us. And when we praise Him in the manner that He wants, it puts everything else in life in perspective. Our prayer life gets better. Well, I'm not telling your problems to go away. I'm just telling you you're going to have an easier time dealing with them because you'll understand that God is with you. This morning, Would you praise God? Would you give Him the honor and the glory? Would you worship Him? And when we all come next week, could we not just worship Him truly together and see what happens? Let everything that have breath praise Him. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart, I don't know your life. And there may be some today. Yeah, there may be. Whether here or beyond the camera there, there may be some today that have nothing really to praise God for. They don't understand about His gift of salvation. They just understand that sometimes life stinks and sometimes it's good. But they don't understand that they can be thankful for God all of their lives because of what He can do for them, giving them the gift of everlasting life. This morning, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first thing that you've got to do. You can praise Him all you want, but until you can praise Him for your salvation, you have nothing and no really reason to praise Him. Ask Him into your heart and your life, and I believe the Spirit of God is dealing in your life and your heart. Would you give Him your life today? Say yes to Him. So as we sing this morning, let's give Him praise and honor and glory. Let's give Him our heart and our life as we praise Him for His everlasting salvation. So as we sing. Number 5.